This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Norm Lingle, Executive Director for the South Dakota Lottery. It's 11 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. Which is the scheduled time for the South Dakota Lottery Commission meeting. Before we get started, I'd just like to make a couple comments to talk a little bit about the logistics of today's meeting. Chair Putnam is unable to attend the meeting today. Former Commissioner Bob Thain was our vice chair. Led us to do here at the beginning of this meeting is we need to elect a vice chair. And so if you look at the agenda, you will see that Commissioner Kafka will kind of start the meeting out. And the reason for that is that Commissioner Kafka is the most senior member of the commission. Before I turn it over to Commissioner Kafka, I would like to make one comment. As you know, this meeting is being broadcasted on the internet, and with the meeting being conducted telephonically, I would ask that before anybody speaks, if they would introduce themselves so that we can accurately record the minutes. And so with that, Commissioner Kafka, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Norm. I'd also like to welcome everyone to this meeting, and I'd like to extend a special welcome to Commissioner Huizenga. I want to thank you for serving on the commission, and perhaps you could tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, Tom. I guess thanks for letting me be part of this and letting me do this by the phone. I'm not in Pierre right now, but that's where I live. I lived in Pierre for since the mid-90s. I am a crop insurance agent and for Negel Agency there in Pierre, and also I am a city commissioner in the city of Pierre. I'm married with a couple of kids, but we are on vacation today. So I'm looking forward to being a part of this commission. I know I've got a little bit to learn, but I am excited to be part of it, so thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. The first official item of business is to call the roll, so I'll ask Angela to do that, please.
Sharma?
Here.
Mickelson?
Here.
Kafka?
Present.
Huizenga?
Here.
Putnam?
We have a call?
Yeah, absent.
I suggest, and I just reiterate what Ted Norm had said earlier, that we should probably, as we make motions and seconds, say our name first so that the minutes can be properly recorded. So at this point, I'll ask for approval of the agenda.
This is Commissioner Mickelson, and I would approve that motion.
Trauma, I second the motion.
Okay, we can vote on that. I think we can do that with a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the agenda has been approved, and at this time, I would entertain nominations for vice chair of the South Dakota Lottery Commission to replace Bob Thain, whose term has expired.
Good morning. This is, again, Commissioner Mickelson, and I'd like to nominate Commissioner Sharma for the vice chair of the South Dakota Lottery Commission.
This is Commissioner Huizenga. I would second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. And at this point, I'll ask Angela to call the roll on that.
Sharma?
Aye.
Mickelson?
Aye.
Kafka?
Aye.
Huizenga?
Aye.
All right, Commissioner Sharma has been elected as vice chairman of the South Dakota Lottery Commission. Congratulations on that, William. And at this point, I will turn the meeting over to you.
Well, thank you all for the vote of confidence. I'm honored to serve, and we'll do my best. Let's move forward with the agenda. The next item on the agenda is I'll let Norm jump into the legislative report, unless there's something you want to touch on the conflict of interest before we do that.
Yeah, Commissioner Sharma, I think we're on agenda item 5, which would be approval of the minutes from December 14, 2017. And we'll need approval of those.
Oh, we approved the agenda. I thought we'd approve the minutes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, any questions on your minutes? I'm looking for a motion to approve.
Commissioner Mickelson would second.
We have a motion to second. Any other questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Minutes have been approved. Conflict of interest. Any comments on that? Hearing that, I think we can move into the 2018 legislative report. I'll turn it over to Mr. Lindsay.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair Sharma. Good morning, everybody. Again, I also want to welcome and thank Commissioner Huizenga for joining the South Dakota Lottery Commission. I very much look forward to having him on the commission, his advice and knowledge as we continue to move the lottery forward. The first things I want to talk about relates to the 2018 legislative session, and I have four items that I want to specifically mention to the commission. The first item was House Bill 1279, which was a bill to increase the state's percentage of video lottery net machine income, create a fund for the proceeds, and repeal video lottery. So a little background on the bill. What this bill would have done is it would have increased the state's share of net machine income over the next 3 fiscal years. So currently the state's share of net machine income is 49.5%. So in FY19, that would have increased to 55%, in FY20 to 65%, and then in FY21, to 75%. The bill would have also created a video lottery repeal and recovery fund. And so beginning in FY19, the additional 5% of net machine income, the 15% in FY20, and then the 25% in FY21, and then going forward, would have been deposited into this fund. The final thing that this bill proposed to do was to have repealed video lottery on July 1 of 2022. A couple comments. The bill identified no replacement source of revenue. As we testified against this bill, we pointed out that the citizens of South Dakota have voted on video lottery 5 different times. Each time the citizens voted to keep video lottery. With the last vote, which occurred in 2006, 67% of the voters voted to keep video lottery. Long story short, the bill was heard in House Appropriation. We worked with our industry partners to lobby against the bill, and House Appropriations deferred the bill to the 41st day on a 7-1 vote. So we were able to successfully defeat that bill. Also want to talk a little bit about House Bill 1172. What this bill did was revised certain provisions regarding meetings of certain public bodies. So what What actually happened in this bill was actually signed by the governor and will become law on July 1, is that the chair of the public body shall reserve at every official meeting by the public body a period for public comment, limited at the chair's discretion, but not so limited as to provide for no public comment. So, beginning July 1 of 2018, Lottery Commission agenda, meeting agendas will include an agenda item, probably towards the bottom of the agenda, specifically allowing for public comments. That's how we will have to comply with House Bill 1172. So be watching for that particular item as we move forward with future meetings. The last bill that I want to talk a little bit about was Senate Bill 183. This bill was passed by both the House and Senate. I believe at this point it is still sitting on the governor's desk. But what Senate Bill 183, the purpose behind that was to identify a I'll just read the title to it. Senate Bill 183 was to provide funds to the Precision Agricultural Fund by revising the allocation of the petroleum release compensation and inspection fee revenues and online lottery revenues, and to repeal the ethanol fuel fund. So long story short, this this bill created a funding source for the Precision Ag facility to be constructed over on the campus of South Dakota State University. So how does that affect the lottery? Is it basically tweaks how the net proceeds from the sale of lotto tickets will be transferred and to what fund they will be transferred to? So as a little background, currently the lotto dollars, the net proceeds from the sale of lotto tickets, the first $1.4 million is deposited in the general fund, and the balance goes to the capital construction fund. However, beginning in FY19, 25% of the net proceeds will be transferred to the general fund and the balance to the capital construction fund. FY20 and FY21, 35% of the net proceeds goes to the general fund, balance to the capital construction. FY22, 50% to the general fund, balance to capital construction fund. And then FY23 and thereafter, 70% to the general fund and the balance to the capital construction fund. I mentioned this to you as an FYI. As I mentioned, I believe this is still sitting on the governor's desk, awaiting his decision. In a nutshell, this really doesn't affect how we do business from the selling of lotto games. It basically addresses at the end of the fiscal year when we take sales minus expenses and get to our net proceeds, it just tells us where we deposit those funds. So that's Senate Bill 183. And then the other thing related to legislative session this year was that Commissioner Huizenga was confirmed by Senate Commerce and Energy on February 6th and the Senate, the full Senate, on February 8th. And so that's my 2018 legislative session report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Have we heard whether the governor was going to sign Senate Bill 183, or is he just deliberating yet?
I believe he's just in the process of deliberating it yet. My understanding is I believe he sees the value of the Precision Ag facility and just wants to make sure that, from, I think, a technical and legal perspective, that the bill is drafted properly.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, hearing no other questions, I'll move on to agenda item 8, an update on the online and video lottery RFP. I think, as we've mentioned at previous commission meetings, that the lottery has begun the process of looking at preparing an RFP and issuing the RFP for the replacement of our Lotto Central system, as well as the potential to replace our Video Lottery Central system. So here's kind of where we're at with that process. The actual RFP was issued on January 31 of 2018. February 23rd, we accepted questions. That was the deadline for vendors to submit questions to the lottery regarding that RFP. They did a very thorough job of reviewing, and I believe we answered somewhere in the neighborhood of 155 questions as it related to the RFP. We posted our answers to those questions on March 9th, and then last Friday, on March 16th, vendors were allowed to submit a second round of questions. And we received approximately 50 questions in that second round from the vendors. And then on March 30 of 2016, we will post our responses to those questions. All leading up to Friday, April 20th of 2018, vendors are to submit their proposals to the South Dakota Lottery by 4 p.m. Central Time. So once we get these questions answered, we'll have a little bit of breathing room, and then beginning on, I guess it would be the 23rd of April, we will be knee-deep into reviewing the vendor proposals. We're going to, the schedule proposes May to August to evaluate proposals, ask for any demonstrations, and make any site visits if necessary, with the goal of bringing a recommendation to the South Dakota Lottery Commission on or about September 1 of 2018. So that's kind of the schedule that we're working off of. The proposal's out on the street, and we're working through that process. We have a team comprised of lottery staff, folks from the admin division within the Department of Revenue, as well as folks from BIT helping us work this project. They've all been very key and instrumental and huge benefits as we work through the RFP process and the evaluation process. The way the RFP is structured, it will have a base contract term of 8 years with 7 one-year renewals available. So that concludes my remarks on the RFP update, and I would be happy to answer any questions related to the RFP.
All right. Thank you, Director Flamingo. I think we can move into the next item on the agenda, which is a video lottery protocol discussion, and Clark Hepper is going to help us with that. Mr. Hepper.
Good morning, Commissioners. Clark Hepper, Deputy Executive Director for the lottery. As you recall, back in December, in the December 14th commission meeting, the commission had directed the lottery, or the lottery had given a presentation to the commission concerning the legacy or the protocol that is the GMMS protocol that operates the legacy games or the old machines. In that commission meeting, the commission directed the lottery staff to meet with industry reps and discuss the possible end date and the processes that would be needed to go forth with that end date for that protocol. Since then, Norm, I, and Sam have met with, we've identified 15 operators that represent about two-thirds of the machine ownership, and we've met with seven of those operators to date, discussing how they feel about a possible end date to this protocol, how they envision this to happen, and kind of a time frame for this. And I just want to share some of the insights from those meetings, and we'll continue to schedule meetings through the month of May to kind of wrap up the rest of those 15 operators that we'd like to discuss this topic with. Basically, most of the information that's come from these meetings is that the GMMS protocol machines still have value in the South Dakota market. The lottery recognizes that, and I believe the industry operators recognize that also and see that based on the net machine that income that still comes in from these machines. One of the differences, and also the operators recognize that there should be an end date at some point for these machines based on the net machine income that's coming in from those line game machines, along with and what's coming in from the legacy machines, and we're seeing that constant increase from the line games. One of the things that they do recognize that an end date should come from, but really we haven't settled on an actual time frame or process that they would foresee this happening. There's been discussions concerning number of years that it would take to end the protocol, or use it based on the percentage of net machine income that these legacy games are creating, and then come up with a plan from there. So there's some differences that we hope once we gather all the information and put a plan together, that we'll meet with the industry hopefully in the month of June to plan out a process to bring a recommendation to the commission that would happen in September, or at the September meeting, to move forth with either establishing an end date for the GMMS protocol machines, and then a timeline for that. So some other items that were discussed during these meetings are some of the obstacles that these operators have with the purchasing of new machines. The cost of the machines is an obstacle. A lot of these businesses operate on a cash-based business. So when the money's available, they'll make the investment into those machines. And some of those, and the 50-50 split that happens with the operators and the state has created some issues for those operators on having that extra collateral available to make those investments. So those are just some of the items that we've discussed. Hopefully we can wrap those meetings up in May and then have an overall planning session in June. One of the valuable things that will be found through these individual meetings with these operators is that they've actually come and shared their business processes, their business plans, how they plan on addressing an end date if one is established, and how it would affect their overall business, from the number of machines that they would have to the number of establishments that they would be able to service with an end date, based on if it was a 5-year time frame or a 10-year, 15-year time frame. So it's been valuable to listen to that discussion, and hopefully we'll be able to come together in June and formulate a plan that we can bring to the commission. And with that, I'll entertain any questions from the commissioners.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Thank you. Clark, it would appear then that the options are either a date certain in years or a machine income percentage level that serves that date. Is that correct?
Commissioner Kafka, that's been the general discussion in those meetings. There's never been a real settlement on the number of years. You know, it's ranged. There's been talk, 5 to 10 year range. And then also there's a based on the percentage of income that those machines are coming in, and numbers have been thrown out, like a 20% of the net machine income generated by overall net machine income generated by those machines would dictate possibly a change at that time. And as if you recall from those meetings, we're roughly about 50-50, or one-third to two-third machines, 50-50 income from those machines.
So this is Commissioner Mickelson. So when you said, so it's about one-third of the machines are the newer machines and two-thirds are the older ones currently? Is that how I understood that?
That is correct, yep.
And but the revenue is roughly 50-50?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
This is Bill Froma. Mr. Heber, do you know the percentage of legacy machines that are owned by operators that own less than 20 machines?
Commissioner Sharma, I don't have that information readily handy today, but I can definitely get that information to you.
Yeah, it interests me in that the smaller operators that own machines may have more difficulty finding financing or arranging for something like that, and I know you're talking about you hinted at that, not financing it, but that there may be some bridge period for percentage of machine revenue or something like that. But there may be other ways to look at that as well, if I could kind of get a sense of where the numbers are.
Yeah, we can definitely look into those numbers and get that out to the commission. You know, one of the interesting things that did come from these meetings is that There's a vast difference in how our route operators do business compared to the establishments that own their machines. And there's a vast difference between those route operators that are servicing large municipalities with a heavy populous base compared to those that are servicing those less populated areas. And how they
right.
So it is going to be a challenge to try to accommodate all circumstances.
Right, sure. Okay, other questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, thank you, Clark. Appreciate it. Moving into the sales report, presenting that will be Tom Helland. Good morning, Mr. Helland.
Good morning, commissioners. We will walk through exhibits A through F in your packets. A shows net machine revenue and terminal and establishment averages. And while the increase on net machine revenue is just a little under 4%, it represents over $5 million since we're dealing with a much bigger pie there. And then terminal establishment averages are running pretty close to flat to a half a percent up. Exhibit B shows the revenue projections, 2018 estimates versus 2017 actual on a cash basis. And then you'll see that layered with our other, with Instant and Lotto in a couple of charts here. Exhibit C, instant ticket sales continue to be strong. You'll see that our holiday spike was similar to the past few years, but we haven't dipped like we did last year. Continue to stay strong, 15% ahead of last year, and you see the revenue difference there is a couple million dollars. Lotto sales, of course, jackpots, we're at Exhibit D now. Drive that, and we've had a couple of large ones. Again, all these numbers are through February, and we anticipate that March is going to be strong. We're 29.36% ahead of last year, and you'll see the revenue breakdown there. So if you go to Exhibit E, where we show instant and online revenue projections, running about $750,000 up on instant games, and over $1 million in Lotto games. Then if we layer instant and Lotto with video, in Exhibit F, you'll see what the South Dakota Lottery pie looks like in total, running about $6 million ahead of last year based on 2018 projections. Any questions on any of the numbers?
Thank you, Mr. Helland.
Thank you.
Director Langer, do you want to talk about the possible base for the next meeting?
Yeah. What I would like to do, commissioners, is to within the next week or so, send out an email to you and ask for some potential dates, looking at probably the May June time frame as well as the September time frame, and then I'll even throw in the November December time frame, and kind of based off of those responses, see if we can dial in some dates and really just put all the meetings on the calendar and have everything pretty well finalized. So if that's acceptable to the commission, look forward to an email from me here in the next week or so.
Will do. Go ahead. Somebody going to say something there? All right. Any other items to come before the commission? Look for a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Heisinger, motion to adjourn.
Second by Nicholson, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, commissioners. I appreciate you all taking busy time out of your schedules today. So enjoy the rest of the week and the rest of March. Thank you.